The time nearly 20 minutes to 8 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. And I told you earlier this morning that we'll be speaking to Mr. Mandla Mthembu. He's the COO for Policy Development and Stakeholder Relations at AEE. That's Accelerated Education Enterprises. Because we've got all kinds of discussions to have. I spoke with their CEO, Graham Yoko. And because of that discussion, I thought, no, Mandla's got to do the talking this morning. Good morning, Mandla. How are you doing?
Yes, good morning, Jenny, and good morning to your listeners. I'm good this morning.
I'm curious how you got involved there originally.
Well, I think it's always been God's calling on my life. When I came back from the UK, after finishing my studies, I worked in different parts of education in our country. Eventually, I found myself pastoring a church. And Mr. Graham Yoko is the one who actually came to fetch me to say, listen, we need you here. But through prayer and guidance from God, it became clear that I had to be here. I've been here for 10 years now, you know, working with Graham. My background is in education and also ministry.
Because now the next question would be that obviously this is Christian education we're talking about. So it must be something that you are invested in and that you totally believe in. What makes Christian education different from a normal school any child would attend?
Well, we want to believe that we as children of God and disciples of Jesus Christ, we have a mandate, the Great Commission. And ours is to reach the world for Christ one child at a time. Mm. And there's no better way to do that than through education. And so in my own conviction and belief, I came to a point where I really craved for a platform and a space where my two passions, which is education and, of course, preaching the word of God, could be accommodated. I've worked with the Department of Education, worked at different, even Umalusi, worked there, the senior manager, a number of other places. But there was no place where I found the freedom to express my beliefs and my mandate as a disciple of Christ, as I have found in Accelerated Education Enterprises and ACE, which is Accelerated Christian Education Curriculum that we distribute throughout Africa and Scandinavia.
The thing is, when you get to education, it is something that the eyes of the world is focused on because that influences the normal of a country, a country's perspective on what is right and wrong. Their opinions is governed by what they learn at school. And then our way of thinking as Christians differs a lot from what the world believes we should be thinking and telling our children when it comes to everything like sexuality or evolution or discipline. There are things that we just don't agree on with the rest of the world, but it's governed. There are rules and legislations and all that kind of thing. How do you do this? How do you get away with teaching what you teach when the world believes we shouldn't be doing that?
Well, first, I think I need to say this, Janine, that Christian schools are partners in discipleship, not the primary agents. Okay.
Yes.
Over-reliance on schools to instill biblical morality can lead to inconsistent and shallow faith formation. Schools cannot replace the daily teaching and modeling that should happen in the home and the church itself. And therefore, schools come in as partners with parents who are Christians to mold the young ones towards Jesus Christ, towards knowing who they are in God. And that happens through character traits that they teach and the values, etc. You know, when you come to think of education, really, and how central it is in really molding future generations, in my mind, I just think of what C.S. Lewis said. He said, education without values, as good as it might be, it is likely to create clever devils.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which is quite a telling statement, because we've seen how people amass knowledge of the world, but they lack in values and character. And therefore, schools and what we do as AEE It is about making sure that the academic standards that we aim for are underpinned by the Word of God. And there's no better way I've come to see in this world other than through ACE, Accelerated Christian Education Curriculum. Because even in the paces, the manuals, the modules that learners use in the classroom, the Word of God is embedded, it is interwoven. It's part of everyday sort of teaching and learning for children.
The thing is, and I've got a friend who's also a principal at a Christian school, and he says parents, there are parents who are not Christian, who send their children to Christian schools because they feel they're going to get a quality education, that the morality is something that they like, you know. And so they send their children to the Christian school, but that's not actually what they believe in. Yeah, you come and you say whatever the opinion is around these contentious issues. Don't you get flack for saying what you say?
Well, let's just look at, for example, the illegality and the constitutional right of Christian schools and any other religion schools to exist in our country. Christian schools, like any schools, be it Islam or whatever other belief system, have the constitutional right and moral right to teach from the view, the worldview they hold. For us, it is the biblical worldview, including matters of sexuality. For example, the South African Constitution guarantees freedom of religion through Section 15, which states that everyone has the right to freedom of conscience, religion, thought, belief, and opinion. It goes on. This right, when you look at it, Janine, is further protected by Section 9. The Equality Clause, which prohibits unfair discrimination on the grounds of religion. If I may add, additionally, even Section 31 of the Constitution protects the rights of cultural, religious, linguistic communities, including the right to form and maintain any association based on religion. So all of this is very important. But just to highlight how important this right has been, the National Alliance of Independent Schools Association has an agreement with the Department of Basic Education. That agreement is captured in the guidelines on the rights and the responsibilities of independent schools. Section 2.5.1 of that document states very clearly that independent schools have a right to follow their own ethos, faith, religion, and philosophy. So what I'm saying is that parents can actually rest assured that what we are in terms of our ethos and faith and belief and how we teach the truth as we see it is a right which is enshrined in our constitution. We're not doing something illegal.
Okay, so now you come and you teach them what you teach at the schools, but for the rest of the day they're at home or they're at the mall or they are all of the places around the schools. You were referring just now to the fact that the school is not the primary educator, not primarily the one that forms the moral base of a child. What do you see the role of a parent and how important is it?
Well, I mean, as a pastor, you know, I'm going to go straight to the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, when you read from verse 6 to 7, and also Ephesians 6, verse 4, you'll come to see that parents are the first educators of their children, especially in matters of faith and morality. That is very important to understand, that even in the Word of God, that is what is actually stipulated. Parents must be proactive in teaching biblical truths about sexuality, identity, and even holiness, and how to live a righteous life to their children. It starts at home from day one when the child is born. You as a parent are responsible. And I dare say, Janine, that there are parents who feel that, oh my goodness, I cannot talk about issues of sexuality or that. No, this is taboo. Well, we are living in an era where these things will be coming to your child, whether you like it or not. So silence and avoidance on this topic leaves children vulnerable to secular ideologies, belief systems, and influences without you having to vet that and guide your child. So it's important for parents to be knowledgeable in these issues so that at least they can guide their children properly towards a wholesome life.
Have you found that parents differ that responsibility? I mean, it's very comfortable to be able to send your children to the church or to the school. But when you feel ill-equipped to teach your children about Jesus and religion, maybe you don't have a great relationship with them to pass on that responsibility to the church and to the school, and to underestimate just how much authority you have as a parent, even more than anyone else.
Well, yes, indeed. We have found that that is the case in a number of instances. Actually, I would say a number of parents are not very active in engaging their children in matters of faith, as in having Bible studies. Mm. Or even though they go to church with their children and they do what they do, even pray. But you find that sometimes it's parents who are really committed to discipleship who would have sessions like that at home where they study the Word of God. And as a result, we find that the parents who are believers, who know God and walk with God, would even lean heavily on schools to instill even further some of the teachings that they ought to be doing themselves at home. But also, we have come to realize that even the teachers who are in the schools that are Christian, you find that most of them also, it is their own walk of faith that actually tends to determine the extent to which they embellish the Word of God with their students. So it's important that if one is working with children, even your own walk of faith must be cultivated, it must be strong, so that you can impact those around you positively towards finding their way and winning the world for Christ one child at a time, as we say.
Yeah. I was wondering whether maybe we are not 100% convinced of our own opinion. You know, when we look at some of the other religions and how they speak out and how no one will dare use their God's name in vain or anything like that, because people are concerned that there will be consequences. But with the Christians, it seems that we're not 100% convinced that what we believe is actually good to believe, and therefore we stay quiet. And the more we stay quiet, the more the world just walks over us and we've got to bend and adapt to what the world tells us to do.
I wouldn't say it is not our 100% belief in what we believe in, really. You see, Christians, by virtue of their character, are peaceful people. Mm. And we also know that our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, does not need any defending from anybody. In the Bible, we see many instances where God demonstrates that he doesn't need us to defend him. But he can do that very well by himself. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean that also we must accept any blasphemy and things which are said about our faith out there. Christian families and churches should not retreat and remain silent in the public square, I would say. Silence may be perceived, as you are saying, as either consent or confusion. You know, I think it's important to understand, for example, what comes to mind is Ephesians 4, verse 15, which says that clear truth spoken in love is necessary all the time. So Christians should advocate for policies and practices that protect our biblical convictions in education. It's very important that we do that. We are going about it. And apologetics, which we've seen over time, and some of us who actually stand in that position, we need to continue to advocate for the truth as we know it from the Word of God. But we cannot be out there gung-ho fighting physical battles, as some people do for their religions. All we do is we speak the truth in love.
So how do you suggest we communicate this? I'm a parent, maybe, and I've got my child. Now, I'm sending my child to the Christian school, so that's one way of influencing it, the perception of this wonderful person that I love so much. But if you would be the parent and say, how can I convey this truth in the most effective way from all the angles, what would you do?
Well, it is important. Maybe let's look at the importance of consistency between home, church and the school. You see, children thrive when they receive a unified message across all areas of life, across all spheres of life which they encounter, and even people that they encounter in their daily lives, that the message is consistent. The school cannot be teaching children to not lie, and yet at home, lies are a norm. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So mixed messages from home, church, and school can create confusion and weaken the faith of our children. So alignment is very important because it strengthens conviction and it builds confidence in Christian identity of our children. That's very, very important.
And
also, we must be compassionate and understand that our children are actually growing, they are learning. And we need to be in a space where we also unpack the truth at a level, in a manner in which our children can be able to digest it and be able to understand it.
Because it's not only what we say, it's how we say it. Truth can hurt just as much as it can set you free.
Oh, Janine, you're so right. You know, the message must be biblical, but also compassionate. Every person, regardless of sexual orientation, for example, bears God's image and is worthy of love and respect. That is a point which we do need to teach our children. You know, holding biblical convictions does not mean endorsing hatred or rejection. It means speaking the truth in love. And ours is the truth which is dipped in the word of God, which guides and directs us. God created humanity. We know that male and female, for example, sexuality is a gift from God, designed to be expressed within the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman. That is us as Christians, should we believe in Genesis 2, verse 24, speaks to that. Matthew 19, verse 46 speaks about that also. So any teaching of sexual orientation, for example, must be grounded in scripture, not culture or personal preference. That is us as Christians, you know. But at the end of the day, we know that we have to love everybody and show them love. Love covers a multitude of sins. We know that from the word of God.
Well, I think these young people are very privileged to have access to something like Christian education. And I mean, when we were children, there weren't all these schools. And if there were schools like that, they were very, very, very expensive. And these days you can walk in there and you can have the word of God as part of the education you have, forming the normal of your children. Thank you for the work that you people are doing. We truly, truly appreciate it.
Godspeed to everyone who is in ministry, and especially those who are working with children, because really our future is in our children, and we need to invest in them the right values, character, and also guide them towards living a life that is glorifying God and no one else.